this morning, our youth heading out to Houston and going down there to win souls for Christ. It's good to have our youngest son coming home this week, and he'll be home till 1st of January, I believe, before they go back. So we'll have about 6 months with him and his wife and our two granddaughters. And you know, it's just good that we have so many different instruments of in people's lives going out and winning lost people to Jesus Christ. It's good to evangelize. It's good that the Lord is blessing in our own church here, that we see souls being saved. In Acts chapter 4, turn if you will, in Acts chapter 4, verses 10 through 12, we talk about reaching out to those who are lost. Reaching out to those who are lost. Starting with verse 10 of chapter 4 of the book of Acts, you find these words. Let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you, whole. Talking about himself. This is the stone, he says, which was rejected by the builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your blessings. God, we thank you for these that are here. And Lord, those that have gone on mission trips and on the mission field. And Heavenly Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit will go before them and touch the people of the Houston projects, that they may see souls being saved. God, we give you praise. And we ask that your Holy Spirit work in our hearts this morning to make us alive to the words of God, that will give us a zeal to go out and win someone for Jesus Christ. And we give you the praise, honor, and glory, for it's in your holy name, the name of Jesus, that we ask these things. Amen. I have no trouble thinking about Americans and what's going on in our country. I have no problem thinking how we'll stand before God one day and give an account to what we have done with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, I think there's a church on just about every corner today, and yet I see very little being done to change the society in which we live. As a matter of fact, it's going the wrong way. We seem to be in America gospel hardened. We seem to be like Pharaoh. We've hardened our hearts against the word of God. And we know what happens when someone hardens their heart against the word of God. The Bible says they'll be lost. They'll be destroyed. They'll go into utter destruction. But the question I'm asked so many times, and we have so many people in the world today that have never heard the message of Jesus Christ. Now, that may seem unreal to you. If it does, I just ask you to take a mission trip, to take a mission trip to one of the third world countries and see the many people that are hungering and thirsting for the Word of God. They've never had the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ presented to them, and they are longing for that desire for someone to come and tell them about Jesus Christ. Are they lost? Yes, they are. They're lost in a world. They're condemned already, the Bible tells us. And we want to know, is there some way, if we do not reach them with the gospel, that they can ever be saved? Well, that's a good question. In Deuteronomy 29:29, it says this, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed, belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of the law. We'll never know everything there is to know. We'll always have questions, questions about life, questions about heaven, where is it, all of these things. Now, if you'll come to the study on Revelation, Brother Jay will have the answers, I'll tell you. But we'll never know everything about what it looks like and all of these things. So we must continue in our life to live our lives by faith and walk with our Lord Jesus Christ by faith, looking at what the Word of God says and obeying the truths that are given to us in the Word of God. Now, this morning, there's five truths in Scripture that will help us answer the question, what about the fate of those people who have never heard the gospel? Now think about that. What about the fate? What's going to happen to them if they never hear the gospel? Well, the first truth I want to mention to you this morning is there's one way the Bible says to be saved. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You see, the world will tell you today that there are many ways to be saved. There's not just one way of redemption. No, they'll say there's a way in the Old Testament that they were saved and a way in the New Testament they were saved. But the Bible says there's not but one way. There's one way to be saved. For the Jews, there's one way to be saved. For the Muslims, there's one way to be saved. There's only one way for you and I to be saved. You see, there's not one way for the people in Africa. There's not just one way for the people in South America or Haiti or China or anywhere else in the world. You see, there's just one way of salvation for everyone, and it is in Jesus Christ. And the Bible says there's no other name under heaven whereby men can be saved than that of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul answered the question to the Philippian jailer. He said, what must I do to be saved? And Paul says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Now, the Bible tells us there are other ways that seem right unto man, but the end thereof is death. Now, the world will tell you this morning, if you watch the television long enough, someone will tell you, well, if you be good, you can be saved. After all, don't that seem right? If you're good in life, if you don't ever hurt anybody, if you don't ever do any lying, but we've just lied, haven't we? To Titus, it says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to the mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, He has saved us by the washing of regeneration and by the renewing of the Holy Ghost. You see, the world will tell you, be good. How many of you remember this saying when you grew up? If you'll be good, I'll give you a reward. I tried to be good. I tried to do everything my mother asked me to do so I would get a reward. Have you ever been rewarded for doing something that's good? I have. But you know what? It seems like that would be all right. If we can do good, we'll get a reward. It makes sense. You see, that's the way we get everything else, isn't it? If you do good, if you work hard, then you'll get ahead in your business. And it works out. You work hard and you get raises, you get ahead in your business. Religion tells us we earn our salvation by, oh, you keep this rule, you keep that rule, you observe the rituals, you go to church, you go to Bible study, you do this, you do that, and you'll be rewarded for it. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says it's by His grace and His mercy. You cannot work your way to heaven, the Bible says. You cannot earn your way to heaven. The Bible says you have to believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to put Him in your heart. Let Him come into your life. The Bible says we must believe. Look what it says. All the people of Israel, by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by Him I stand before you today. Oh, you see, it's only by Christ that I'm here today. I remember when I was lost, I went to church, I did all these kind of things, but I was lost. And one day the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and said, Byron, you're lost. You've never really received Jesus Christ into your life. You've never really trusted the Word of God. Oh, you've done all of this stuff to get a reward for it, to be good. But that does not get you into heaven. You see, the Bible says, the Bible centers in on Jesus. It was Jesus Christ, the Bible says, who died on the cross. It was Jesus Christ who existed from eternity. It was Jesus Christ who was foretold by the prophets, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life. He died on the cross. He was buried. He was raised, and He's coming again. Now, I put my trust in Jesus. I tried to live a sinless life, but let me tell you something. I lied. I tried to do this, but I stole. I tried to do this, but we commit adultery. I tried to do this, but I used the name of God in vain. I tried to keep the Ten Commandments, but I found myself coming up short. Have you? Is that your life today? We come up short. The Bible says we all fall short. We sin. We miss the mark of living for Jesus Christ. And the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, folks, you can think of what you want to think, but that's true about every person here this morning. We've all fallen short. We tried. Jesus Christ came. He didn't try, He did. He lived a sinless life. And He died upon the cross, and He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father unless you come by me. And folks, when I realized that, you know, it was a whole new world in my life. You know, I don't have to try anymore. I just go through Jesus Christ. And when we try, when we quit trying and let Jesus Christ live in our life by faith, we trust Him and not our goodness or our works, then it's a whole new outlook on life. And all we want to do is try to win those who are lost. Try to make them aware that if we don't have Christ in our lives, then we're lost for all eternity. The Bible says there's only one way to be saved. The second truth I want us to look at, God wants all people to be saved. He just doesn't want us here at Gun Barrel to be saved in this church. No, He wants all people to be saved. People in China, people in Africa, people in Haiti, people in South America, everywhere. He wants them to be saved. Listen to what the Word of God says. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to eternal life. All should come and repent of their sins. Friends, all people are important to God. You are important. Some little boy one day said, well, my daddy said I wasn't important. I didn't matter. But I found God, and he said I mattered. You see, you do matter to God. God loves you. Teddy sang that song, God So Loved the World. Folks, listen, man. God so loved you this morning that he gave his son to die for you. He loved me. And when I see that, and when you see that, that God so loved me that he died for me. Friends, from the very least of the children to the very worst of the sinners, from the poor beggars to the rich young rulers, God says, I love you. I love you with all my heart, and I want you to come to me. I don't want anyone to perish. That word perish means you'll be lost forever. There is no hope. Once you die, and you die without Christ, there is no hope. You will perish. For all eternity, you will be in a life of torment. We preached on that a few weeks ago. A life without Christ. Folks, if you don't know Jesus Christ today, God says, I want you to be saved. I want you to come to know me. I want to have a relationship with you. Folks, what a great feeling it is to know that God wants a relationship with me. Now, all people are sinners, and all people need to be saved. Third truth I want to make. God has made himself known to all people, so that the Bible says in Romans 1:20, they are without excuse. Now, people say all the time, how will they know Jesus Christ if we don't go? Well, I don't know exactly, but I know one thing. They will be without excuse, the Bible says. God has done all through creation, all he can, through creation, through our conscience, through Christ, to tell us that he loves us. There is a God. He's there. He's real. He wants a relationship with you. The writer of Hebrews says this, God who at sundry times and divers manners spake to people in the past and unto the fathers by the prophets, had in these last days he has spoken through his Son Jesus Christ, who is the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. I ask you this morning, what is God like? He's like Christ. How much? Exactly like Christ. He's exactly like Christ. And God says, I have made myself known through creation. All the heavens, the Bible says, declare the wonders of the Lord. I know this. When a person wants to come to Jesus Christ, he will come to them. I guarantee you that. Friends, creation, the psalmist said, the heavens declare. The sun beams its light, its warmth. I was looking up at the sun the other day. You know, the sun's pretty hot. And I was thinking about how hot it is. And I was riding down the road, I think, with Brother Bill, and we were talking about it. You know, if the sun is just 1 inch closer to the earth than it is, we would all burn up. Have you ever thought about that? Just 1 inch closer. Instead of 104 in Texas, it'd be about 120. There would be nothing living here except things that are burned up from the sun. Be like the desert. And think about the winter. Oh, folks, let me tell you, if it was 1 inch farther away, We have a young lady from Fairbanks here today, and she came a long way to hear me preach. I thank her for that. But no, I often like to go to Fairbanks. I went to Alaska a few years ago, beautiful place. But in the wintertime, it's cold, isn't it? Just think about what it would be if the sun was 1 inch further away. There'd be another ice age. Well, the Bible tells us that through creation, we ought to recognize that there is a God. Have you ever just looked up into the heavens and thought about the moon and the stars? I was sitting out this morning about 5 o'clock in my swing, and I was looking up, and there was a star right straight above me. And I don't know how far it was, but it was a long way out there. But I thought about its light. The light of that star began to shine years and years ago, and it was reaching me, and I could see that light, and I thought, man, you know, God just put that there, kind of as an afterthought. And I thought that same star can be seen from China on the other side of the world, Africa, South America. That same moon that's so bright here goes there, you know. And this world is just a turning over and over and over. Man, if we can't see God and the beauty and the heavens, I don't know what's wrong with us. The most primitive man can look and know from creation there is a God. In 2000, I believe it was, we went to Africa. And I've told this story so many times, most of you know it, so I'll abbreviate it. We had walked miles, seemed like that day, in the heat. And there was this, we came to this village, and there was one little woman sitting on a 5-gallon bucket. And she had a little bucket of water in front of her. And she was sitting there alone, and I was beginning to think, what in the world am I doing here? Because I was rebelling against God. I was kind of aggravated at God. I didn't really want to go there to start with. And we were out witnessing about Jesus Christ. And once I got into witnessing about Jesus Christ, I really began to like it and really began to tell people about Jesus and seeing that so many people were coming to know Jesus Christ. And this little lady, I began to tell her about Jesus Christ, and you just couldn't stop. You wanted to tell her more and more and more. And when I got through sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with her, the translator told me, she's 95 years old, preacher. 95? I began to think, Lord have mercy. She's 95 years old. She must not have very much longer because the average lifespan is only 45. And as I shared the gospel with her, tears came across her dried face. And she began to smile in her heart. And she said she had been waiting all her life for someone to come and share the gospel with her. Oh, she didn't know what we call it. But she was glad that his name was Jesus. You see, she came to know Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. If I hadn't have gone, I believe God would have sent someone else because she was wanting to hear the gospel presentation. And the Bible says, in the day that you seek me, I will come. And she had sought God in her life. And I left that place that day all really humble because I said, God, you could have used anyone, anybody on the face of the earth, to tell her about Jesus. But I'm so thankful you chose me. I was so thankful God literally saw fit that I would travel halfway around the world just to share with that 195-year-old little lady. You see, I don't understand it all, but I know that when someone wants to know Jesus Christ, he will make himself known to them. No man will ever be able to stand before God and say, I did not know that you existed. I never had a chance to be saved. He says, all men are without excuse. The man's basic problem is not understanding. Man's basic problem is in his heart. He doesn't want to seek God with his heart. And it's not divine revelation, but it's human rebellion. We rebel against God. And we say, no, I don't want what God offers. I want to live life my way. Now, the fourth truth. God is honor-bound. God is honor-bound to get the gospel to someone who wants to know it. Jeremiah 29:13. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Now listen, that's a promise from God. You shall seek me and find me in the day that you search for me with all your heart. Folks, if a person wants to know God, the promise is, if you will ask him, it shall be given. If you will seek, you shall find. If you will knock, the door will be opened. The door of salvation will be opened. You see, the Bible says in Acts 10, Cornelius, there's a man named Cornelius. He was a God-fearing man. But he was lost. All he gave to the poor, he prayed, but he was not a Christian. He did not know the gospel. He only had a limited light, but he responded to that light. And you know what God did? God sent Peter to witness to Cornelius, to bring the gospel to him. Friends, God is going to see to it that somehow, some way, that those who want to know him will be able to know him. I believe that with all my heart. God is honor bound to get the gospel out there to those who seek him with all their heart. And then the fifth truth, and I'll close. God has commanded us, listen to this, God has commanded you and I, born-again believers. If you are a born-again believer, God has commanded us to take the gospel to all men. Let me tell you something. This is what I always hear when I say, we're going to take a trip to Africa. Oh, y'all just want to take a vacation. Let me tell you, I'll pay for your way to go. You can have a vacation if you want to go. Man, let me tell you, it is no laughing matter. It is hot. It is dusty. I had on a beautiful coat like this when I went one year. After the first day, it was ruined. It was so dirty, I don't think it could ever be clean. I just gave it away. Folks, that's the first time that I've ever sat in the back of a car and hollered, stop! I got to get out of here. The walls were closing in on me. Have you ever rode in a 6-seat car with 12 people? With no windows down a dirt road? Dust flying all over you. You can't breathe. We had to put a rag over our face with water just so that we could breathe and keep the dust. It's no vacation. When you're offered bugs to eat and you're really hungry, when you see children starving to death, it's no vacation. And I thank God that he's called us to get the gospel to those people. Folks, it's worth every penny if one soul is saved. That one soul can be that 95-year-old lady that asked God to send someone to her. Can the heathen be saved without the gospel? Can they be saved without the gospel? I think the real question is, folks, for you and I here today that are saved, can we be saved if we have the gospel and are not willing to take it to them. You see, it makes a lot of difference when you turn that around. Can you really be saved if you have never shared the gospel with anybody? What kind of Christian are you to have a cure for the greatest problem the world has, and you won't share it with anybody? You're stingy and you're selfish. And I don't really believe you have it if you're not willing to give it away. You see? Romans gives us the promise of salvation. It is a simple way. You don't have to have a PhD or whatever it is. You don't have to have a master's degree from seminary. Romans says this, whosoever, that means you, shall call, that means pray, upon the name of the Lord, that means Jesus, shall be saved. That's a certainty. Now that's pretty simple, isn't it? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's all you have to do, folks, is share that with them. Paul asked, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? That's you and I. You see? And then he concludes, I love this passage of Scripture. How beautiful are the feet of those who have preached the gospel of peace and bring good tidings of good things. I wonder why feet are singled out. How beautiful are the feet? I don't want anybody to pull off their shoes. Those are about the ugliest looking things I can tell. Some of you got long toes, some of you got short toes. Some of you got calluses on your toes, some of you got warts on your toes, some of you got corns on your toes. Man, you ever looked at somebody's feet? I want to say cover those things up, will you? But you know what? The Bible says how beautiful are the feet. Why are the feet beautiful? Because they are the instruments of divine mission. If it wasn't for your feet taking the gospel of Jesus Christ, if it wasn't for the feet to get the message of the gospel out there, people would be lost. And folks, it says, how beautiful are the feet of those people who take the gospel of peace to the lost person. What about you this morning? Five truths. You've heard the gospel. You have the full message of the gospel. Some people never have that. And therefore, since we have the full message of the gospel, we are responsible in our lives to respond to the gospel and carry the gospel to those who are lost. I thank God for those 20-something people probably that took off to Houston this morning to share the gospel in a tough place. The question is this morning, if you're here and you're lost, how are you going to respond to the Word of God? You have the light. You've got the message. It's right on your table. Just imagine everybody here has got at least one Bible in their house, probably five or six Bibles in their house, probably one on the coffee table collecting dust, maybe some in your on your shelves in your closet. You've heard the message in many a churches, but you've never responded to it. How are you going to respond this morning? You going to go away from here lost without Christ? If you do, the Bible says you're a fool. For you're not guaranteed be able to live through the day. If you're a Christian and you have received Christ, what are you going to do with the light that you have? Are you going to hide it under a bushel? No. The Bible says you need to let it shine. And if you're not letting it shine, folks, you need to come and get your life right with God. That's just the simple truth. You're here this morning and you're looking for a church home. You'll never find a better church this side of heaven than right here. Oh, there's some out there. But why not come here? You live here. God's placed you here. Why not serve in this community? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you and I praise your name for what we have. God, you blessed us here as a church. You blessed us with a people that on fire for missions. God, you've sent out missions from this church, preachers from this church. God, I thank you for all of those people that have come to know Jesus Christ through the years. But Lord, let us not just talk about what's in the past. Let us get ready for the future. And Lord, our country and our town and our nation's in dire need of some Christian soldiers who will stand up and be counted. God, I pray that we'll stand in the gap for those who are lost in this world, that we'll tell them about Jesus Christ. And we give you praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Would you stand and would you come right now?